Reformed Church.
Romans chapter 6 and verse number 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into life, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life, right? And we've been talking quite a bit about, you know, defining that which is old, right? If there is a new, that's because there is an old. The old is what is earthly, right? The earthly is old. That's why, you know, when the Lord talks about that old things have passed away, the old things that have passed away are the things that are earthly, that are of this world. Now, the interesting part is that we still possess something earthly, right? We still have, I should say, right? We still have something earthly, which is this physical body, right? And the Bible's clear that the body is dead because of sin, right? It's the only reason why this body is mortal, right, is because of the sin of Adam. That's the only reason why this body is mortal and can show signs, I should say, of mortality, right? But what the gospel does is we continually grow in the gospel, and I think that's 2 Timothy. I know it's Timothy, not sure which one, but right, it says that the gospel brings to light immortality. Right? Immortality and life are preached through the gospel. So unfortunately, because of the things that are still seen in the body of believers, people have kind of switched their doctrine from understanding what immortality is, understanding what it means to walk in the newness of life that we actually truly possess already. We've gone to living by sight, right? Because we believe things because we see them. We fear, right? We fear, like really, truly feel on the inside of us fear of corruption, right? In other words, let me show you something real quick. I think, and I'll see if I can find it for you really fast. I think it's verse 15, I think, of chapter 8. So two chapters over. In verse number 15, 8:15, Romans 8:15, it says, "You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Now, obviously, that cry, Abba, Father, that's more than just, oh, I get, you know, Abba is so cool because Abba means daddy. And I heard a Jewish person call somebody, you know, Abba, and that's so cute because that's daddy. And you get to call your heavenly father daddy. I mean, this is making a very solid point, right? You have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So we have to understand that first. What does it mean when it talks about that we have not received the spirit of bondage? The spirit of bondage again to fear. So it's not just the spirit of bondage and it's not just fear, but the spirit of bondage again to fear. So let me show you something real quick and we'll come back. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 14. Hebrews 2:14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise took part of the same. So really, really cool point here, right? That Jesus took our image so he could give us his image, right? He took our image, right? He took our image, which was fleshly. And the cool thing about that, do you remember how you've read before when we talk about discernment, right? That anyone who does not preach that Jesus came in the flesh is not of God, right? If they don't preach that Jesus came in the flesh, it's not of God. Isn't that an interesting way to kind of term it? That anyone who does not preach that Jesus has come in the flesh. Why is flesh such an important thing, right? And we've talked about that a little bit. But it's because flesh, I'm not going to say it's synonymous with, but means earthly, right? He's talking about something earthly. And there are different bodies, but a fleshly body is a mortal body, which is earthly. In other words, so we know that when it talks about anyone who does not preach that Jesus has not come in the flesh is not of God. I think that's the proper way to say it, right? What that's saying is anyone who doesn't believe that Jesus came, took on our image or took on flesh like ours in order to be able to die in a body like ours and take the punishment, right, the death for our sin, right? So here it says that for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, meaning us, right, he also likewise took part of the same that through death, right? So the only reason why he took a body is to be able to end in death, right? He took part of the same, that through death he might destroy or make inactive him that had the power of death. To be able to make the power of the devil, right? To be able to make inactive him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death, and to deliver them, us, to deliver us, who through fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to that bondage, right? So we were all of our lifetime subject to bondage, and the bondage is from a law, right? So we were all our lifetime subject to bondage because of a law, the law of sin and of death. We were all our lifetime subject to that bondage because we were under that law. We were under a law of sin and of death, right? When the law of Moses came, it made it worse, right? When the law of Moses came, it made it even worse now, because now sin became exceedingly sinful, which means now you experience even more death than you did before, right? Right? So because through the knowledge of more sin, it comes, the body just keeps going with it, right? The flesh continues then in more and more abundance of sin, right? So it says, and to deliver us then, whom through the fear of death were all of their lifetime subject to bondage. And it says lifetime because it's talking about mortality, right? And then it says, for verily he took on him, not of angels, but he took on of the seed of Abraham, meaning that he took a body like ours. It was our image that he took. In verse number 17 says, wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, to be made like us, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. In other words, to die, right? To die. So there are people, there are Christians today still that despite everything that he has done, right, still live in fear of corruption. And corruption is anything, right? Corruption is you get a cold. That's corruption. Corruption is you bleed, right? You cut your skin. That's corruption. You age. That's corruption, right? There are people that fear that they're getting old. There are people that fear because they're up over the hill now. There are people that fear because of sickness. There are people that fear because of disease. There's people that fear for all kinds of things. But it's an interesting thing that when you read, if we can go back real quick, right? In these next 5 minutes, right? Romans chapter 8 again. In Romans chapter 8, it says, and if we can go up maybe this time, verse number 8, Romans 8, 8. And it just got done talking about that the carnal mind is enmity against God, that to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Well, you know, why is it that that's so? And we'll get into verse number 8 now in a second. But because if you are being carnally minded, you're minded, right? Your mind is on the things of the old man. Your mind is on earthly things, right? So we cannot be fruitful, right, by the life of God on the inside of us is if we're mindful of sin and of death, right? You can't, regardless of the fact that we are not under the law of sin and death, if that's where your mind is sin and death, right? And you can't think about death without thinking about sin, because it's just a misunderstanding. And I'm going to tell you something that's really interesting, and hopefully this doesn't take too much time, but it should be short. I was just spending, just praying a little bit last night and thinking about stuff, and the Lord put this word in my mind that I obviously had never made. To me, it's like a made up word, right? But he was talking about that, how misunderstandings in our mind, in other words, bad understanding, is not unflesh, is not UN flesh, unflesh. So, I mean, I don't understand everything about it, but I do understand that unflesh is spirit, right? Because what I have been obviously on for a while now is, as we've been learning about this whole thing about newness of life, I know that unflesh is spirit. Unflesh is death. In other words, not of the flesh, right? Unflesh, and that's exactly the way I heard it, is unflesh is of the spirit. Unflesh is not carnal, right? Not carnal. So when our heart is fleshly, right, we're actually going against who we are. Because in Romans chapter 8, let's go ahead and read 8:8. It says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, which means those that are not of faith, right? Because without faith is what it's impossible to please God. So it says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, those that have no faith in Jesus, right, who have not been made new. But you, verse number 9, you're not in the flesh. but you're in the spirit. You're not in the flesh, so you're in the spirit. So that means that you are not, you even though you possess, you have an earthly body, right? You are not of the flesh. In other words, there is no debt, and I believe it's here where he talks about that. We don't live under the law of sin and death. So even though we have a flesh, we don't live according to the basic things of this world. We don't live according to that law, right? Verse number 9 says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you, which he does. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. That's understood. But what we have to see, right, as the body of Christ, we have to see is that the Spirit is life because of righteousness, of which you have both already. You have the Spirit and you have his righteousness, right? So because you have his Spirit and you have his righteousness, then you already, by association, have his life. And we have to understand, yes, it is true, right? We're not trying to lie and try to make believe like, oh yeah, my body is not feeling what it's feeling. That's not the point. The point is that you don't live under the law of sin and death, right? Jesus took care of sin, therefore he took care of your death, right? He took your sin and he took your death in a body just like yours, in a body just like yours. So when you think about the things that you see, right, in your, that are going on in your body, the things that you feel that are going on in your body, we have to allow the Lord to truly teach us is that, yes, true, got it. The spirit, the body is dead because of sin, but we have to understand that for us, it's very different. We are not in the flesh, but we are in the spirit because the Spirit of God dwells in us, and that spirit in us is life to us, right? So he says, but if the spirit of him, verse number 11, that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, which he does again, you qualify yourself here over and over again. You might as well just put your name in every single spot that you're qualified in, right? That's you that it's talking about, right? So it says, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in Jose, which he does, he that raised up Christ from the dead will also quicken Jose's body by the spirit that dwells in Jose, right? That's just the way it works. It's just the way it is. That's the law that you're under. Before, right, you were a slave to that, right? That's just the way the law worked, sin and death. If we would allow ourselves to be taught about the law of the spirit of life, it's a really interesting thing that he actually words it like that. The law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death, the law of the spirit of life. Listen to how he says it, right? The law of the spirit of life, the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and of death, right? We need to be taught that, right? We need to be taught why it is that we have access to that life. We have a righteousness that came through the finished work of Jesus, right? He took a body, right? He took our image so that we could take his. But we don't even think along those lines. We think so earthly as the body of Christ, because and we suffer just like the world suffers. And even though you will see many commonalities between the things that you can see in your body and the things that you can see in somebody else's body. But the thing is, that one that does not have the Spirit of Christ in him cannot receive life, right, from the spirit that's in him, unless someone with that life gives it to him, right? But how much more though us, if we can understand everything that Jesus went through in order so that we could take on his image, you know what we would do? We would do what we've been reading from Romans 6:4 for a bit now. Let's walk in new life. Let's walk in the new life. Let's stop talking about the new life. Let's actually walk in the new life. And the only thing that we need to do is allow him to be able to teach us. Look, behold my glory and look at what you see. And that's how I've made you new. All of your newness, he said, that's from me, the Lord says, right? All of your newness, that's from me. We were reading from Romans chapter 8, right? And verse number 15, right? And I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father, right? So it says, we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, right? And then we read from Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 15, and it said that that Jesus, through what he did on the cross, right, that he delivered us who through fear of death were all their lifetime, or all our lifetime subject to bondage, right? So that's what you see. You understand what the fear it is, the bondage, again, to fear that he's talking about is the fear of death, right? But the thing that I want to clarify is that some people might hear this and think like, oh yeah, like that's, yeah, that's okay. I'm not afraid of dying, right? But that's not what fear of death here means, right? It's not about not being afraid of dying. It's the fear of death is that you live all of your lifetime subject to death. In other words, the reason why people fear death is because, right? The reason why people fear death is because they're going to die, right? They have a certainty in their mind, I'm gonna die, and now all of a sudden it's gonna be quicker, right, than what I thought. But obviously what the Lord tells us, which is the exact opposite, right? In the same Romans chapter 8, in verse number 2, he says, for the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, the law of the spirit of life, again, right? The reason why we don't have to fear death is because we possess the spirit that is life. So the reason why we don't have to fear death is not because we're not afraid of it. The reason why we don't have to fear death is because we're no longer subject to death, right? That's a huge difference. So it says, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death, right? If you were even to remove sin, because people agree with that right away, yeah, I've been set free from sin. But if you weren't even reading spirit and you weren't reading law, you would say that because of the life in Christ Jesus, we're made free from death, right? But people don't see that because they like the words law, they like the word spirit, they like the word made free from sin. But for some reason in their mind, it doesn't compute sin and death, right? What we've been set free from is sin and death. So just to clarify that, we're not talking about, you know, that, oh, now I don't have to be afraid of dying and I can meet my death without a problem. It's that you're no longer subject to death, right? You're no longer subject to that law. Therefore, that law is not operating in your life. Instead of the law of sin and death operating in your life, now the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, right? In other words, the life that only comes when you have Christ in you, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
We hope you enjoyed this message from Reformed Church. If you have, please share this with someone else and help us get this unpopular message to the world. If you'd like to support Reformed Church, you can do so at reforminus.com/give. Also on our website, you can take advantage of our free messages, articles, and even full discipleship courses. Start reforming your mind now at reforminus.com.